So, good evening. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Wednesday, September 18th at 5:34 p.m. Pacific Time and 8:34 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to start off by calling. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee, and we're going to start off our meeting by calling the roll. R. Paul Martin from WBAI is our secretary. R. Paul is split.
Okay, Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Crumshaw.
Present.
Marcus Cutter. Marcus. R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg. Manager Saba.
Present. Present.
Raul Salvador. Richard Uzel. Barbara Whipperman. We have seven.
You emailed that you couldn't make it.
We have seven.
Okay, thank you. So that's a quorum of the committee. Let me clarify that Barbara Whipperman, the KPFA LSB treasurer, emailed that she could not attend. And I believe that they're told Reimers, the GM at WBAI is with us on the call. Is that correct?
Yes.
Welcome, Bertolt.
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the call who has not identified themselves? Okay. All right. So the agenda for this as a special meeting is constrained. What I'm going to suggest as a draft is that we approve whatever outstanding minutes that we have, and I believe there are set, and then we will turn to at least beginning our discussion on the WBAI 2014 budget. Are there any modifications to that suggested agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve it?
Jim, move to approve.
Okay, any objections? Okay, the agenda is approved. R. Paul, I saw that you sent out minutes, but not what exact date that they are, so if you could introduce them.
Yeah, they are the minutes, the draft minutes of the August 28th, 2013 meeting.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve those minutes or to modify them in some way?
I don't know if it's modified. I had a question. I'm getting an echo in my own voice, but no. The vote on Raul's amendment chronologically took place before the vote on your full motion after the amendment failed. I'm not sure. That's not very clear from the minutes because it's listed with your motion first, with the vote on your motion, and then the amendment.
Yeah.
And the vote on the amendment.
Okay. That's actually the way it's supposed to be because you get the main motion. And then the amendment is to try to amend that, and so that comes after the main motion. If the main motion had been amended successfully, it would appear again as amended underneath that amendment, and it would then state the disposition there.
Okay.
Okay, does that suffice as an explanation?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Okay, so is there a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Okay, are there any objections? Okay, good. All right, so that takes us to the BAI 2014 budget, which is certainly going to be a project. Let me just go over a bit what we'll kind of do process-wise, and I don't know how far through the process we will get today, but we will embark upon it and see how it goes. Since we have another National Finance Committee meeting scheduled for tomorrow on a different budget, and for at least half the committee, there is then a Pacifica National Board meeting on Friday night, I'm going to suggest that we try not to go, if possible, beyond about 2 hours tonight, because I think that would be difficult for many members of the committee. It is, of course, up to the majority of the committee, but I'll put that out that at least half of the committee has a heavy meeting schedule this week. Okay. So the process that we normally go through is that we hear from the station's GM, from the local station board treasurer, who is a member of the committee, from the other ranking PNB member on the committee. What we're basically asking you to do, not longer than 10 minutes, is tell us sort of what you think that we need to know about this budget, either the derivation of it or some features inside of it that deserve notice. And basically we're asking you to draw our attention to parts of the budget that you think deserve thought and consideration. So we'll go to each of you in sequence. Then we'll open up some time for members of the committee to ask factual questions, which are, I don't understand what this line number means and that kind of thing. And then at the close of that period, we'll move into sort of temperature taking, which is where we make comments. Good budget, bad budget, I'd like to see this change, I'd like to see that change. And we go through a comment process until we work our way towards voting. And we may get halfway through that or three-quarters through that or all the way through that tonight. We'll just have to see how it goes. Okay, so I hope that's clear. And if there aren't any other questions, I guess we can get started with the New York. Yeah.
All right, this is Bertold, General Manager. I'd like to first yield to Arthur Martin, the Treasurer, to kind of give you a quick introduction on what went on the Finance Committee meetings. And so on, because I know he's pretty good at that, and he took the minutes, and he was chair of that committee. And so you can get a feeling of what we went through and what happened. And then you can make a presentation or just defer to me, and then I can present the assumptions of the budget and so forth and so on. So all four, okay, is that okay with you?
So you'd rather that Arpon go first?
Yeah, explain, no, because I think it's best to give you an idea of what we went through with the Finance Committee meeting and all that.
Okay. Paul, is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't give everything. You can read some of this in the Village Voice article. Yeah, we had, of course, the main thing for BAI this year is that the, as with all the stations, the largest expense is personnel, and we had to wait to see what the personnel decisions were going to be since we were going to lay people off. We laid off, as everybody knows, a considerable amount of the staff, the paid staff. So we're down to like 7.5 or 8 FTEs at this point. So we then had to wait a while and, you know, figure that out, get the information, and then only then could we really get the whole budget printed out so that the committee could look at it. And the committee looked at it, and you know, there were various thoughts about it on the committee. Now I don't know if people want me to just say what the committee did, which I can get through in about 30 seconds, I think, or if I should go over my whole thing here. I don't know which people want. I'll start with the committee. The committee met a couple times, and we agreed on the budget, and then we found the general manager alerted us to the fact that there were some other expenses in there. And so we met again and went over the whole thing again and found that the expenses did put us out, but they didn't put us out that much. And so we went over the whole thing. We had a lot of back and forth, mostly about the listener support line. And we've looked at the various things presented by management, the fulfillment rates, the historical stuff of what we've been doing, and so we decided to come up with what we've presented to you here. Again, we didn't have that many meetings on this, but we had some. And, you know, to most of the committee, it looks okay. Now, we then brought the motion to the LSB, and at the LSB, we made a presentation. Part of the motion where we are bringing it to the LSB also mentions the fact that we didn't have enough actuals to work with from the national office, and that's going to be the subject of an email that's going to go out at some point soon, I think. So the committee very much wanted it known that we did not feel we had enough information from the national office, and so, you know, we're not everybody in the committee is that confident about this budget. However, we then brought it to the LSB. The LSB managed to not get to that agenda item. There were people disrupting it. You know, somebody got censured for that, and you know, stuff happened. Anyway, so that's how we got here. Now, I don't know, should I defer to Berthold at this point or do my spiel at this point? I don't know which people want me to do here.
Berthold, I think we'll defer to you and your decision. I mean, in general, we like to do it in the order that we present it, although I think that this is really helpful information that I'll present it. Are you comfortable going forward with your report at this point, or do you want our fall to continue?
No, I can go forward, and then Carpool can step in when you deem it necessary, and we'll go on. First of all, I would just like to thank the local finance committee for having shown more goodwill in three meetings than has been shown in 3 years. I've been around 4 years, actually, before I was in here. To try to understand the meeting, the budget, and try to pass. And so I wanted to acknowledge that. I'll first go into the general big items. We are projecting that our total net revenue will be $2,438,024.00. We're projecting that our operating expenses will be $2,044,989, which would leave us with a net positive of $393,035. Then we are projecting $299,660 of Central Service and Pacific Radio Archives, which is like the full amount, that which would leave us with a net of $93,375. And we are projecting capital expenditures of about $80,800, which includes $65,000 to build out a studio in Brooklyn. That will leave us with a net surplus of $12,576, which is not a lot. Okay, so now I will go into the revenue. The revenue, the net revenue of $2,438,024. We are assuming that we will have, last year, by the way, this fiscal year of 2013, we had close to 160 days of fund drives. Yeah? And we usually project like 120. We are projecting 102 days of fund drive at an average of $18,818 per day, which gives you exactly 1,919,440, not including revenue from previous drives that we continue collecting, stuff like that. So you take that and you add it to those, we are also projecting that our fulfillment rate is going to be 78.3%, which is going to bring our net revenue for listener support to $1,536,716. This is our major item. We are projecting $111,000 of website income, which is a proven thing. We are projecting donation below $1,000 of dollars. We are projecting the WBI buddy income of $13,000 a month, which is proven. Which will bring us to $156,000. Community events, we are projecting $57,000. We had about 56,000 last year. So all of these things are very close numbers. Major donors, we're also projecting another $57,000. Craft fair, David Rottenberg, we're projecting nothing, even though we will hope that if we fix our phone, we could go back and then generate money in that. Last year, we had projected $160,000. We're projecting, the only thing that we had issue figuring out efficiently is a CPB grant. We are projecting $266,825 of unrestricted grant and $93,723 of restricted grant. And we are projecting $60,000 in grant and other income. Last year we had close to $50,000. 14 foundation gave us about $50,000, which means that they're reducing the amount they're giving. They're giving, but they're giving very little. So this all adds up to $2.4 million in revenue. Our salaries, go to salaries and expenses. Our salaries have gone down from $1.5 million budgeted, probably more or less actual, to $522,984. We reduced staff by 75%. There are only really 1.5 real FTEs in the office, myself and a part-time development director / we do everything. And our administrative expenses, of course, go down because it's $371,000 as opposed to $644,000 because we are reducing the rent we used to pay Silverstein from $45,000 to $50,000 a month. We are now paying close to $10,000 of rent. So the big story for BI really are the reductions in expenses. Programming expenses goes up because programming expenses includes the tower rent, which is the Empire State Building. So it's $841,000 projected. Development expense is $279,000. It was budgeted at $367,000 last year. And community event expense is $11,000 since we're not doing the David Rottenberg thing as opposed to $62,000. So that's the big story. Maybe we should start going into questions and answer about the major items, like the listener support, which was like the biggest item question at the LSB Finance Committee. Everything else is like really, besides the CPB grant, if we can have an exact number on that, everything else is basically very standard stuff.
Okay, Virgil, thank you. Thank you for your work. Thank you for the level of detail. We are going to go to Arpal and Manajay first, and then we'll go to question and answer. And once we've completed question and answer, this is up to you, of course. You're welcome to stay. You don't have to stay through the whole temperature-taking commenting period. We just ask you to stay through the end of the Q&A. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll stay as long as I can.
Ma'am, I'm on the call.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome.
Who's that?
Richard.
Richard Uzzell. Okay.
Okay, so if you could march, Richard present.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to go to our call. And, you know, whatever you want to add to what you said already and what Bertold added.
Okay. Yeah, Bertold has gone over a lot of the stuff. The bottom line on line 67 is very, very thin. So it's not like this is, you know, the way the budget is being sent to everybody is looking like, you know, a house on, well, I wouldn't say a house on fire, it's pretty bad. It isn't looking like it's, you know, the great thing that's, wowee going there. However, this budget is very, very conservative. And the listener support on line 4, that's really a low projection. The FY12 draft audit that I've seen says BAI raised almost $2.5 million on that line then. And the FY13 budget called for $2.7 million. So what we're calling for this time is much lower. We're not, in other words, this is a very conservative budget in terms of listener support. We have not gone into cloud cuckoo land. It is not based on optimism or anything like that. It's looking at what we've done and projecting really less. So there's been proven income, and I think the listener support is probably going to come in like that, we hope. I have a caveat to throw in here at some point. It's based on 102 days at $18,818 a day. You can see people were having a meeting and had our calculators out and reached a compromise. The tally rate is very like what we've been doing, and in a recent thon we got more than that. The fulfillment at 78.3% is very realistic, and the station is actually running a little bit better than that for 2013 so far, and 2013 has been tough. 2013 has been very tough. Now, in terms of revenue, the thing here is we have this budget, there it is, and it looks good and it's conservative. However, everything is going to depend, this is my personal opinion, everything is going to depend on how the October thon does. If the fall thon does well or gets almost to goal, just misses it by maybe a little bit, I think this budget is really going to work out. If the fall thon tanks, you know, depending on how badly it tanks, I guess a lot of things might happen. There are all sorts of rumors going around about what's going to happen, what might happen. Some of the rumors might come to pass. So the real thing here is that in terms of revenue, this thon that's about to happen in October is absolutely crucial. The premiums have been a problem at BAI related to this. But they're getting shoved out like crazy these days because, you know, for a while there, BAI had all the premiums stuck in storage. And so what we're being told is that for the interim program director has told the staff that the interim executive director has instructed him that we're going to only have one premium for this on-air fundraiser in October, and it's going to be Pacifica on a Stick, which is a flash drive with a lot of Pacifica programming on it. So, I don't know. I think, you know, they may have to be not absolutely strict about that, at least for some people. I don't know. But anyway, that's what we're told. Salaries and related is obviously way down, and, you know, one of the things we are going to need some help with, I think, is getting the severance pay done. People have already had to wait too long for their severance pay, you know, all those people who are laid off now. We owe it to them, and they really need it because, you know, people have been basically put out on the street, and they need to pay their rent. And I know some of the people and what the financial situation is. So we really, I think it would be good if somehow the rest of Pacifica could pitch in and build back BAI for it as we get better. Okay, the tower rent and utilities are quite large. That's without late fees. I will again say I am wishing that all of Pacifica was in good enough shape that we could get help with paying our rent at the tower on time so as to avoid late fees. That would save everybody tens of thousands of dollars over the year. And basically, again, it's a very conservative budget. WBAI is stabilizing after several blows here, and we're not there yet, but we're not in total chaos anymore either. And I think that the basic bottom line here is that this budget is realistic, and that if we do okay on the fall fundraiser, we should be able to meet this budget. And that's all I have to say. Hello?
Okay. Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Just couldn't get off mute too fast. Smartphone is smarter than you sometimes. All right. So we're going to go to Commander J. Saba for whatever comments she has to make.
Actually, I would like to pass any comments because I think I'm not sure about our fundraising this time, so I have nothing to say, and I would accept our Paul's explanation. All the things that you said. Thank you very much.
So I think at this point we will open it.
Tracy?
Yes? Yes, Rachel, what is it?
Think I can address the fund drive a little bit, like 2 minutes, as far as my discussion with the IPD.
Since Mana J didn't take her time, go for it.
Yeah, since also that seems to be the thing, the big elephant in the room. Well, initially it was put out that we were going to have 100 interviews from KPFA on the state, and a few people panicked, including a lot of producers sent some emails and stuff like that. And so we had a few meeting and conversation with Andrew Phillips. And the way it's going on right now, basically, is there's going to be a compromise somewhere in between. Basically, the theme of the drive is definitely going to be going back to content instead of premium. And then there's going to be the stick membership. You know, Andrew was explaining today to the managers that, 12,000 WBI members joining a BI buddy would basically get rid of on their fund drive days, at about $10-$15. A person. And so the theme of the drive is going to be the stick, and then the stick is going to be played by every show, most shows that do not make any money to begin with. So they are going to stick with content, and then Peter Boshen is editing it, and we're trying to get a relevant part of those speeches to specific shows. And that's a lot of work. It's a lot of it being done by KPFA, since BI we don't have the resources. However, the shows that make money are going to continue doing their premium. Amy Goodman, we're going to try to find, we should be able to find a part of the stick that definitely fits the Amy Goodman show. Gary Null is going to do his premium. Armand DeMille. Certain shows who make the money, we're going to still continue counting on those. But like for the 6 to 8 in the morning strip, for example, we do not know what to do with that yet. We might mix that up. We're going to try to keep it with content, the content and the stick. So, and of course, I have a contingency plan for week 2 and week 3 to see, depending on how that works. And so that's about it. Kristen, I told Kristen Blaswell to be on standby, and so forth and so on. And so, we have to be optimistic but always have a backup plan. So I have a backup plan. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. So with this, and I'm going to make a disclaimer here, we're going to open up for questions and answers.
If you want a specific answer from our Paul Berthold or from Manajay, you should indicate that when you ask your question. Again, what we're trying to do is not get into long monologues about what we think at this point in time, but just about, I don't, you know, things that we don't understand or things that we want more clarification on. And with that said, I'm about 15 minutes away from a computer, so I will have some questions and we'll be at the end because I need some time. So who would like to be on the stack?
Jim.
Okay. Anybody else?
Tony.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll start.
Should I be on
Jim,
the stack? This is Raul.
Of course. Okay, so we'll start with Jim.
Okay. I have two questions. One thing, I'm just curious, what is the BAI Buddies?
Okay, so how do you want me to proceed answer as the questions come? Okay, the BAI Buddies simply is a sustainer program where we're asking the members to subscribe to BAI, you know, like you would become be a member or you would subscribe to a magazine. You know, because they support BAI and then the and what BAI stands for, they are giving a minimum of $10 per month from either their checkbook or from their credit card that we've drawn automatically on the same day of the month every month from their account, and then they can also choose a show that they support their favorite show and indicate that, and so we have that. The flurry of money coming in on a regular basis. So this is like our operating cash that's coming into the account.
So that is pretty consistent.
Pretty consistent. About 850 people. You know, we started in on 9/11 of last year. By December, January, we had about 850 people, and then we never really continued on with the campaign because we were in so much. Cash flow crisis, but the idea would be to every drive to have 2 or 3 days of BAI Buddy, so that we can continue building up that that consistent inflow of cash.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been asked to bring up a question by KPFT management from a year ago, 2013 in the summer, 2012 in the summer. We were splitting our business manager with WBAI, and part of that agreement was that we would pay a portion of that salary and BAI would pay a portion. Since Markeisha has been split, we've been paying the whole freight on that. And so all last year, we were eating a portion of her salary and benefits for her time there, and it doesn't sound like there has been any provision made for the portion of her salary that WBAI would be using her for in 2014. Was there any consideration on how that was to be handled?
Oh, okay, I would answer that very quickly. That is not in the part of our budget, by the way. However, I did defer to the national office to do that. Like, you know, it was something that was initiated by LeVon, the CFO, and Arlene, and then they were supposed to, you know, come up with the paperwork or, you know, and the deductions and then let us know how to do it. And then that never occurred. This question came up during the management call today, and our interim general executive director said that she would address this with Dwayne and I, and then they will figure out exactly how to allocate that money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. We'll go on to Tony Norman.
Yeah, I have just two quick questions. You said you only have 1.5 full time. What is that half, and how many part time employees?
Well, basically, this is the way it is. In the office, right? In the office, we have the mail clerk, who is like kind of part time. We have the interim PD. who is a consultant, kind of. We have myself as the full-time, and we have Andrea Katz, the interim development director, who is part-time, part pay. So that's for the office. For the operation for the air, we have an interim operations director. We have and we have like four operation staff who are working 3/4 time. That's it.
So that's how many part time?
That's four operations staff working 3/4 time, and then one full time interim operations director. So I don't know how you want to break that down. 3/4 time, so that's like three operations staff really for the whole full time equivalent. And the interim operations director, and then there's me full time, and then the interim development director part time, and then of course the IPD.
And how many of those are getting benefits? Are you paying benefits on? Is just one full time or?
I think everybody is getting benefits because they're working over the amount of money of time that needs to be. The mail clerk is not getting benefits because it doesn't need the benefits.
So how many people will be getting full benefit?
Seven or eight. I'm not sure about the...
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, well, I didn't hear the last...
Seven or eight, depending on the status of the interim program director. I don't know exactly how that deal is. If he's getting benefits or if he's functioning as a consultant, that needs to be worked out. But it would be seven or eight people getting full-time benefits.
And what's the total we would owe in the severance pay? And how much we still owe and how much we already
paid? I think the severance pay comes to $250,000, about $225,000. My argument was to have that done during the 9/11.
Wait a minute. Hey, stop for a second. The issue of the outstanding severance is a part of ongoing negotiations, and I think that we sort of need to steer around that above and beyond the amount is owed. How Pacifica is going to deal with funds in order to meet that obligation probably doesn't belong on an open stream call. I'm sorry. The amount is fine. The how to deal with the financial obligation in particular probably can't be done right here and now. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. What's about $225,000?
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. Okay. Sorry that I had to interrupt you, Joni. Raul, you are next on the stack.
Yes. First couple of observations. I totally agree with ARPO and Bertel that this is very conservative budget compared to what we have currently year-to-date in 2013. Just for perspective reasons. Right now, year-to-date, we have recorded $2,186,000 worth of listener support versus what they're budgeting for listener support of $1,536,000. However, they also have a website income of about $111,000 budget and a BAI buddy of $156,000. So that's about a $1,800,000 revenue from listeners. Secondly, we could also see the expenses, the actual savings from the payroll-related expenses. We're saving about almost $1 million in for 2014. So that is accurately reflected in this budget. The only question I have is that the fund drive expenses, can you tell me or tell us more about that fund drive expenses and what they are? Because we've never had that last year, or maybe it's called under a different name. You have budgeted that for $108,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Okay. You want me, Apple, you want me to address it, or you can address it since I gave you the documentation? You want to...
Okay, as I understand it, you want to know what we're spending...
Yeah, what's those funds?
Fundraisers?
Fund drive expenses, actually.
Yeah. Okay, let me see. I have some of that in here, I think. Yes, the
fund... The only reason why I ask, because I'm trying to trace back it to, like, 2013, and... And I couldn't see a line item there.
Okay. Let me get back.
Yeah, well, the reason why you couldn't see that line item, Raul, is because most of these things were put under consultant. In other words, we are paying people to come and be tally coordinators and food coordinators, and then those people were paid, and then it was put under consultant.
Okay, I'm trying to see that.
Basically, I will break it down for you, and I also send you a file and Tracy, and or maybe Harper can send it to the committee. Normally, you know, well, we had about 125 days of fund drives from February to July, the July drive, right? And normally, for a normal, like if we're not using a company, a normal fund drive would cost us, we pay $15 per hour, 24 hours a day, so 125 days comes out to about $45,000. Okay, so it's 125 times 360. And so that's about $45,000. Then there's a food coordinator, which is about which costs about $10,000 every 30 days. So we had about 125 days. So food coordinator came up to about, would normally come up to $40,000 about. And then we have your data entry clerk, who comes about to $40,000 a year. So if you do that 365 days into 40,000 times 125, that's another 14,000. So normally, for the 125 days of drive, we would spend normally $98,000. However, through these 125 days of drive, we have paid the billing company $83,684.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw in the year-to-date financials there's a consultant under administrative expenses. So
yeah, and the consultant number is really high, and that's the number.
Okay, it was in the admin last year.
Yeah. Basically, can I add the number now for projecting how this should go should save us on the order of maybe $15,000 over the course of the year, over the way it had been done some time in the past, because we used to have to pay more people, do food and all that stuff, and now we're using a call center, and which we have to do because we don't have the room or the phones yet to plug in a whole bunch of people and have the old tally room. But it's going to save us like $15,000.
For the year. Okay. Thank you.
Tracy, your email is Tracy Rose?
Yes. That's my email, tracyrose@gmail.com.
Okay.
Now I can hold the stream. It's okay.
Yeah, well, that's why I was hesitating.
Okay. Raul, are you and Bertold finished this back and forth? Is the stack open or?
No, that's free. My question was answered. I saw where it was coming from.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So is there anyone else on the stack? I'm going to put myself on. Is there anyone else who would like to be there?
Michael Novick.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Michael.
I have a question about the WBAI Buddy. Is that $13,000 a month based on currently existing pledges that have already come in that are just going to be, you know, continuing EFTs indefinitely, or is that a goal that you're trying to achieve?
Oh, no, that's not a goal. These are actuals.
Okay.
We actually sent a spreadsheet to the CFO. Raul, you can actually address that, you know, the breakdown of per month of that.
That's great. If there
yeah, there is an existing listener base that that we receive from the WBAI site.
Great. That's it.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead. I just want to sort of put a disclaimer on here. This is kind of interesting, and it hasn't really happened before, but I got a couple of questions via email for the WBAI GM and the OSB Treasurer via sort of crowdsourcing, people that are listening on the stream and had questions and hoped that they could be answered. So if it's okay, I'm going to put those questions on the floor. I wouldn't do that if I thought the questions were repetitive or rhetorical or nasty. They're not. So it seems to me like they deserve a hearing. So I'm just going to pass them on. So we're crowdsourcing the finance committee, which is funny. So give me a second, and I will read them off. There are two. So let me give you both of them, and then you can handle them in whatever order you see fit. The first is...
Apologies, I'm trying to take it on my phone.
Not working well. Okay. The first question is whether you've addressed the possibility, Bill told, of phone banking with volunteers, which would be basically calling people who either haven't fulfilled their pledges or are lapsed donors, and whether you've approached maybe trying to recruit volunteers, not just locally but nationally. The person was suggesting that they, for example, would be willing to make calls to BAI lapsed donors, and they think that other people might be. So that's one question. Why don't you answer that, and then I'll go for the second question.
Can you read that again? Because your volume was up and down.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, I'll be in better shape and off of smart and off, you know, back to a computer space. So the first crowdsource question was, Bertold, have you considered implementing some more progressive phone banking? To either, you know, folks that haven't fulfilled the pledges or lapsed donors. And the idea was, have you recruited for volunteers to do this, not just locally, but nationally, because the individual was saying that for themselves, located, you know, 3,000 miles away from New York, they would voluntarily make calls to BAI lapsed donors, and they think that they're not the only one. So that's the first question.
You want me to answer that first?
Sorry?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, of course we have, and then that came up in the Finance Committee meeting more than once. The frustration definitely was from Hurricane Sandy, October 2012, to present. We were always in transition. We went from, you know, to the Gary Knowles office, you know, where he gave us access to his facility to do a few things. Then we moved to the World Financial Center, where we're not allowed to plug in into cables and then have our phone lines that were consistent. We finally moved to Brooklyn, and we are settled now. We are finally totally, completely settled here. I mean, obviously, we're still moving, filing stuff away, but we are settled. And I did print the list of all outstanding premium, outstanding pledge not paid for the past, you know, 4 or 5 drives in a book per sheet, and people can come here and actually make those calls. It's a little difficult to have some people outside of the office actually do this, because I would like to supervise that. And I mean, these people are going to call and ask for credit card numbers for these people, and I'm not totally comfortable having it done, you know, like in a virtual way. We have ordered 4 extra lines that are going to be added to the conference room, where, you know, we can have people sit there and make those phone calls.
Oh, yeah, I understand that concern. Okay, the second crowdsource question, I'm going to have to take a pass on for 5 minutes because I'm having tech problems. I will pick it up in a second, and if you could just, you know, let me ask it whenever I dig it up. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack for Q&A?
Could our Paul answer a little bit of the other question?
Sure.
Yeah, one of the things we, of course, have to watch out for is we are actually entrusted with all this information from the listeners, and so management absolutely needs to maintain control over that information. So, you know, you couldn't, like, email somebody a list of people's names and telephone numbers, because that would be a very bad idea. We've done this sort of thing in the past where we do the calls, and basically there's a printout. You get that. In one of the things we signed for the sheet, we got it and signed it back in. And so there's some control over that. So, yeah, so it's going to have to be something where people go to the actual station, and we set this up again, as we've done in the past. And I think we have an extra person on the line.
It's such a weird sound, but anyway. Okay. All right, so I'm still taking the fifth on finding the other question, so we will get to it. The last call for Q&A. Okay. I'm probably going to have some stuff, but why don't we move a little bit into temperature taking?
Good. Tracy, can I ask one question?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm sorry, this is Richard. I'm looking at this. I may have an updated a copy of what we're looking at, but what I'm looking at has a CPB grant increase of about $110,000. Is that correct? Hello?
Bertrand, I'm back. Can you address that?
Yeah, well, the CPB grant, that is one item that I wanted, Paul and I were asking the CFO to confirm what would be the CPB grant.
I'm trying to find out if I'm correct that you're showing this as an increase.
Well, we don't hear there. I think this could be a place where you could be helpful.
It's not an increase. Like, the CPB grant is about $120,000 every 6 months, and that's what we have it at here. What you're looking at in the 2013 budget was a was a projected year to date. I believe that it's not prorated. It's not including any money that we have, because we haven't received any money from the CPB for a while now.
So your
that's not included in the one that's in the budget.
Did I get a yes or no on that?
Yeah.
Is that an increase?
No.
$110,000, is that about right? Hello?
I'm gonna go back to our 2003 project so that I can get you the number for the CPB actual we got last in 2012.
Well, I could tell you what the 2013 total CPB, Berthold, the total CPB was $280,500 for 2013, and then for what you're projecting here is $340,548. We don't have an estimate yet from the CPB how much we're going to get in 2014. So this would be a guessing game, and neither I or Summer has any information on the 2014. But what we do is we just estimate whatever is the level of CPB we have for 2014. Out 2013 to be our 2014.
So there's not, you're not showing an increase.
We should not show an increase. But it looks to me like there's for Berthold there's an increase of about $60,000.
What makes that? What justifies that $60,000?
Well, I can definitely reduce that, you know. The $60,000 is all together, right? So it's distributed between...
Yeah, it's all together between restricted and not restricted.
Yeah, well, my question is, how can you budget an increased amount of income there if you have no idea what it's going to be?
I budgeted this based on numbers that I've had from 2012. It was actually $418,000. You know, so I'm like, it's a shot in the dark. I don't know what it is, so I just left it at what it was projected for 2013.
2012 and
20 with reduction, yeah, because it used to be $418,000.
Are this?
This is one of the questions that was I had asked Arpaul Martin to research so that we can come up with a number that makes sense. So that's a number.
Yeah, we might. Yeah. I have to look at it. Arpaul, can you go ahead?
Yeah. Basically, I sent an email which went through the NFC mailing list. I was asking the CFO what it was. We know what our penalty will be for FY14, but I never got an answer for what our bottom line would be. And now we're hearing that nobody knows what the bottom line will be. So,
well, yeah, we don't
like
know.
It's nebulous.
So I guess my question is, if nobody knows, how can you show an increase in its income?
Maybe we need to cut that.
I'm double checking the AFR. The report that the 2014 will be based on would be on the 2012 AFR, which we just finished, and I'm comparing it with the previous year, and there might be an increase in NFFS considering the penalty that we're getting. There might still be a slight increase if that my computation is close, that would be there might be a slight increase. I would venture into seeing, like I said, we know that there's an increase in our NFFS revenue for 2012 compared to 2011. So, but then again, you have to factor in the penalty. So there might be a almost the same amount as this year, or a little bit more, even considering the penalty that we're getting. So, and then, but we need that factor of percentage that we are going to be allocated, and it's going to be based on the whole universe. So,
why would it go up?
Well, as I explained in my CFO report, there was a in the previous years there was a whole range of categories that were not included in the NFFS. Revenue that was the basis for giving us the grant. So for 2012, we had confirmed with the CPB and together with our auditors that those donations, major car donation, website income, other grants will also be part of the NFFS, which in the past has not been reported or in the past has been excluded for the NFFS. So there is an increase in NFFS between 2011 and 2012. And 2012 will be the basis for the 2014 computation. So I think they have a two-year lag on that. So, but then again, we're still missing that factor that the CPB will be using to multiply to our NFFS to the computation of the award. But it would be safe to say that for budget purposes, we could maintain the same level for now.
But just seriously, if you don't know what it's going to be, you can't put that in your budget. I don't know. Let me ask another question. The tower, this one that I'm looking at, and like I say, I may be looking at the wrong place. It's showing the your tower rent's going up 10%.
Right? It's going up how much, Rich?
What was that,
Richard?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You kind of blinked out this check, but I think you can now.
My question is, your tower is going up about 10%, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yes.
The amount that you have shown here in this copy that I'm looking at is way more than 10%. What is that additional cost for?
Well, I know for sure that our tower rent is at about between $49,000 and $52,000 a month. That's what we've been paying for the past couple of months. You know, like it was $49,000 for August. It was $46,000 and change for September. It goes up and down. It averages, and sometimes it goes 50 depending on the month. So, based on actual, I know that my tower rent is at 50,000. And so now I'm putting that 50,000 because I'm putting the tower and the utilities together at 53,000. So if you look at that, versus,
$50,000
we're paying on an average right now.
Say model on board.
So basically we are paying an average of $600,000 this past year. I'm projecting 642.
Let me ask you a question.
Hold on one sec. Folks. Mute if you're not speaking. Because behind someone there is a train, something whistling, whatever it is. It's really distracting. So please mute if you're not speaking.
Okay, so basically the actual tower rent for this year was close to $600,000. So I'm projecting $642. If you do $642 into $600, that's $42,000 more. So I'm really projecting 7% increase.
What percent?
About 7%. It's about 7%. You know, it's around $50,000.
Okay.
Let me go over. No, I went over. I went according to the actual, the real stuff that we get. So we'll be. I have a spreadsheet that keeps track of all the power and expenses, and you know, and then the different things that they charge you for.
Are Paul for this a little bit?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. First, I want to say yes. I have said this before, and I'm saying it again. I think there's a problem with keeping the at least the amounts for the Empire lease confidential. The general manager hasn't been shown that. So, yes, it's very difficult to – he has to guesstimate this. We should show him the contract. The other thing is that the total of the tower was also the utilities, and so that comes to the 642 number. And the thing is, we also get late fees because we have not, you know, we aren't too great at paying on time. We get it the last second. We just had the national office pay up, so we didn't get back in the court again. We've got all sorts of things like that, and there are these little things that Empire tacks on. I mean, it's, you know, absolutely the landlord's market. So they do all sorts of amusing things to ratchet up the amount of money they get. But a part of this, I wish, is it would be good if Pacifica, the national office, if somehow we could all maybe help BAI to pay these things on time, and we would not have the late fees, and we'd save tens of thousands of dollars over the year, which would be a savings for all of Pacifica. I know in the past when I've brought this up, I've been told, yeah, but nobody else can afford to lay out the money. We just are too strapped. If at some point we're not too strapped, I think we should really pay attention to really making sure that the Empire bill gets paid right on time, so there are none of these terrible late fees.
And for the record, I just did an average of the power rent we paid from October to September. I did the bill. It's averaging $49,329. So I'm expecting a rate.
Okay, someone is muttering in the background, not on mute. Please stop. okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, is there anything else for Q&A? Manager, was that you?
Can I make a statement? I said before that I don't have anything to say because I don't know and I'm not comfortable with the future fundraising. And, you know, when our said that if the national doesn't pay the bills in time, we can, if we don't raise money as we didn't raise the money that was projected in the summer, and we are behind, and I understand that our frustration at BAI, but over and over again, as our part somehow implied that the national cannot put a bill, and the national has its own problem right now. So I would like to see more realistic numbers. I'm not sure about these numbers, actually, because we haven't raised our fundraising in part this year has been very poor, much lower than what we have expected in terms of, especially in terms of on-air fundraising. And I'm not sure we have been able to maintain our supporters or listeners.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and pull out this second crowdsource question and give it to Bertolt. And then I have a couple of number questions. So let's start with the crowdsource question. Bertolt, has the BAIGAM considered the possibility of running fund drive shows in other signal areas like LA, Berkeley, or Houston, the idea being that the shows would be adjusted so that whatever they were able to raise in the given hour would be called into BAI, to BAI's fund drive room, and whether on a, I guess, a pickup basis that might make sense? Have you thought about it? Have you ever talked about it? Would you talk about it? Which I think is more of a brainstorming idea than a budgetary question, but
yeah,
I'll throw it out there.
I'm a little confused about that question. Can you say that again?
Has the WBAIGM considered running fund drive shows from LA, Berkeley, or Houston? If the programmers wanted to do that, the radio shows could be adjusted so that what would be called out is the phone number for WBAI's fund drive room, and people would call in pledges to WBAI based on programming appeals that they heard in LA, Berkeley, or Houston, or presumably D.C., although the person didn't mention that. Does that make sense?
And I'm still very confused by that question, to tell the truth. I'm sorry.
I think the idea would be, Michael, let's say one morning uprising in Los Angeles would do a show during the BAI fund drive that would be specifically for BAI, and they would ask people to pledge, and they would give out the number for BAI's phone number, and anyone from LA who wanted to make a direct pledge to BAI could do so. Your volunteers would answer the phone and process the pledges. That's the idea.
The network is already over fund drive. There's over fund drives going on. You know, each region are doing their own fund drive as it is.
Yep.
And so to have WBI go into their air and then have an extra day of fund drive, you know, is not exactly welcome by other stations and vice versa. So I, you know, until we have a pretty good coordination at the management level with the ID and all that stuff, this question is going to be just a rhetorical question where we're going to be debating and trying to figure out how do we do national days of fund drives, where we had one for BAI where we did 200,000 in one day. How do we really coordinate those for the entire network, actually, and generate more money than, you know. But nothing like that is being considered.
All right. So with that, I may still have a couple of numbers questions because I'm finally solving my tech problems, but it's slow. I think we can probably kind of turn to temperature taking. And the drift on temperature taking is that nothing that anybody says is binding, but we kind of move to the ability to make comments or to suggest things that we're uncomfortable with or where we think modifications might be in order. And some of that already came up with regard to the CPB item, but I think the question is, are there other places in the budget that are of concern to us? And also, are there modifications that are going through our mind that might make sense and might increase our comfort level with the budget? So before we vote, we generally kind of go around and make sure that everybody's heard from, but why don't we start by opening up a stack, and then if we need to, we'll go sort of person by person. So does anybody want to go first and just tell us what they're thinking? And it's not binding, and you can change your mind.
Is Jim?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Okay. I think it's just going to be a real wild card for BAI this next year. And you know, looking at the budget, it's, you know, it, I don't really have any problems with it. More power to them if they can do it, but with the, they've made substantial staff reductions. You know, how the next 6 months is going to run on revenue after the publicity has come through. I just can't, I don't think nickeling diming here and there is really going to make that much of a difference on the budget from here on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to throw a comment into the box?
Well, on the bright side is I have all this negative press and all that stuff, and BI Buddy did not suffer significant withdrawal of members, and so I think that's a decent sign. And on our web streaming is about the same, slightly higher. So.
Yeah, I feel a little like I'd like to give a more thorough look at the 2013 actuals, which I haven't done comparison-wise. But let me see if there's any quick questions here that come to mind. I think we may have to take a look at that CPB increase. I think Richard was correct to identify that. I mean, that strikes me as a modification that we're going to have to make. And I think what that made you in terms of numbers, Bertold, that I'm going to kind of run this by you, because I'm already thinking of sort of, you know, the problem-solving aspects.
I already calculated the numbers.
Yeah. If it's a consensus of the committee that we can't quite go with that number in the CPB category, which I think it might be, one of the things that we can look at from an expense point of view is not committing to the capital expense build-out, which if the numbers don't come in, of course, we won't have the money for anyway. I realize it's an expense that BAI is going to have. It may be an expense that will have to be capital campaigned and isn't going to be available from ongoing revenue. So if we did make an adjustment in the CPB, I think that's where it might hit, sort of in the conclusion that we're probably not going to be able to finance a studio build-out out of our ongoing revenues.
If we do a $60,000 cut CPB, then that's going to also reduce the payment to FSRN. So the net reduction is going to be $44,000 against the $12,000. That's definitely going to give us a deficit of 31,500. So you're saying we should reduce the capital expenditure by 30,000 and make it half for what it is?
I think that might be a realistic way to deal with it if we have to make that change, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm open to other suggestions, but that's what goes through my mind. Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions. Just line item stuff, if that's okay?
Sure.
Okay. Now that I've got it open. Okay, so starting on the administrative expenses part of it.
Okay.
And I know we're comparing the FY13 budget to the FY14 budget, and I'm going to try to get the actuals open too, but so some of this may be attributable to things that were in the 13 budget that shouldn't have been there. So, if that's the case, clarify with me.
but I noticed a couple of things that went away, so I just wanted to get the derivation of why they went away.
Okay.
So, consultants, I understand. Account 6501?
Actually, the consultant is a reclassification of what was, there are certain things like webmaster and things like that, that we took out of salary and then we move into consultant. So that's...
Right. I know that. That's fine. Okay. Do you want line items or account numbers? Which is easier for you?
Line items.
Okay. So administrative expenses, account 6501. And I'm sorry, Jim, I'm going to nickel and dime a bit just because I want to understand some of the numbers. It's not my station, so I need to understand a couple of these things. Telephone and radio lines, 9,200. It's gone.
Could you tell us the line numbers on these?
Yeah. Line 86, account 6501. We budgeted 9,200 in 2013. Now it's gone. I assume that's because we have a different telephone arrangement? Bertel?
Okay.
What was that?
Yes, we had a 3-year amortization for the phone system of $720 a month, I believe. And then basically it's been over 3 years, and so that item is no longer in there.
Okay. Thank you. That answers that. Next question. Line 106, account 6631, rent and lease of equipment. It looks like it's doubling over last year. So what does that correspond to?
Okay. $1,285 of it is a copier and printers that we have here. We had a contract, and then we actually were not really very good at dealing with that contract properly. So we had another company take over this contract, and so we have less expenses on that. I print the copier. We have 7 printers and a copier and a large copier and printer. So that's $1,285 a month. And then the rest is for the postage machine. These are the fees for the postage machine. Yeah, $1,200. So that's coming to $2,485. So these are things I'm getting a better handle on, and so I'm putting the actual numbers as opposed to things that were plugged in before.
Yeah, the other thing, there's a $29,000 year-to-date expense on that line for 2013, although it was budgeted at $12,210. So the budget of $28,600 is more in line with the 2013 expense.
Good.
Actual.
Because we want it to be accurate. That is good. Okay, so let's see. I think I have 2 more things to say, and that's it. Maybe 3, because there's something to say about revenue. On the tower expenses, I thought I heard someone say that Berthold is not in possession of or has seen the Empire contract.
Yep.
Okay, that does not seem appropriate to me nor useful for the purposes of preparing a budget. So I would like to get that rectified.
Okay. Thank you.
And to make sure that these numbers correspond to what we can actually expect to pay per the terms of the contract. Because that's not the kind of guessing game that we need to play. It's not productive.
But for the record, what I do is, like, I look at all the actual for the previous year. I do an average, and then I just do 10% on. I just add 10% on top of that, and that's what I did this time around. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the Empire State Building, the payments went from $46,000 in September 2013 to $49,500 in August, was $52,000 in March. Goes up and down, and then it averaged 49,000. So that meant, you know, 10% on that, you know. So I believe that the number that I added is more or less accurate. You know, it actually is prudent a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
To supplement that information.
Yeah.
Bertold was correct. He actually, the actual rent is about $48,000 with the CPI annual index being applied on the base rent, plus the other utilities and other fees, license fees that they tag on to that. That makes it about $53,000 a month in average, plus the penalties, the late fee penalties that we are not budgeting for this year. So that's more in line with what the average would be.
Okay, so I will reiterate that I think our call's point about the late fees is correct. That's something we need to rectify. It's just throwing money off the side of a bridge. No reason to do that. Whatever we spend money on, late fees is like the stupidest thing in the world to spend it on. And in terms of the tower contract, I mean, certainly it's something to talk over with the IED, but it doesn't seem to me to be appropriate to conceal that document from the station's GM. So my hope is that could be rectified. Okay.
Thank you.
So two more points. The premiums. I hate to bring this up. This has been like premium year. All we do is talk about premiums. And now we're going to talk about premiums some more. Just to say the obvious, the ratio that we have here under premium, let's see, where are we? Line 168, account 6750, is not a 1 to 10 for listener revenue at all. Now, I think there's reasons why BAI specifically may not want to put a significant amount of revenue into premiums, and I think it really needs not to. So I'm not saying that the 10-to-1 ratio that we have imposed at stations which, you know, we're spending a lot of money on premiums, applies here. But $53,000 in premiums for $1.5 million in income, in fund drive income, is a pretty tiny percentage. So, Bertold, can you address why that number is so small and why you think it's realistic?
Well, first of all, as you know, if you look at the ratio of the premium to revenue that we had before, it's about the same ratio. About 2 point something million. It's not exactly the same ratio, but it's more or less. It's 2.6 million out of 154.
Now I think it's a little. I think it's a little more contracted than it was.
Yeah.
You reduced revenue by $1 million, and it looks to me like you reduced premiums.
By
about two-thirds.
Yeah.
And you're not reducing revenue by two-thirds, so it isn't quite the same ratio.
Well, you know, the whole idea of going this year, like, for example, the drive we're going to be having, we're having that stick from KPFA, the ratio from the premium, we're going to be pitching a whole lot of people, like, just donating money for, like, the transmitter fund and that kind of stuff. If you look at, I don't have the numbers with me, but the number of the amount of money we receive for transmitter fund, actually, maybe I can find that quickly. But the amount of money that we have received for transmitter fund versus, I mean, people just donating money as opposed to getting a premium. It's the, I mean, if you want, I can definitely find that ratio for you and then give you that information tomorrow.
Okay.
But the transmitter fund stuff has reduced the amount of premium that we're sending out since since the October thing. I am actually looking into my records right now and see if I can find these.
Just for reference, 2014 ratio, the budgeted ratio, is at 28-1, while year-to-date 2013, you're doing about 17-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful. I thought it was a little different. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'll say, the temperature taking place, if I thought 17-1 was okay for BAI, I'm not sure how I feel about 28-1. It is worth mentioning there's 25,000 in archives premiums.
Yeah.
Which are premiums. So that makes it a little better. let me ask you another question, Bertolt. Or Paul. Every station does this differently. So I'm not critiquing this number, I'm just asking. The number below, line 169, fund drive expenses. It's $108,000.
Yeah.
Big number. What's all of that for?
Okay. I was trying to send you an email that did not do. Didn't we talk
about this half an hour ago? Okay.
Yeah.
Give me the line again. Let me make sure I'm not looking at the wrong thing.
No, that's
$108,000.
Yeah. We discussed that earlier, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
That was one question.
Can someone summarize it in a sentence or two for me? And I apologize.
You want me to do that, or?
If you could, Raul. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was probably fussing with the tech problems I was having and didn't make it in.
The fund drive expenses are basically expenses to pay consultants or people that help in the fund drive to pay those part-timers or what you call it, and some food expenses. And last year, the reason why I asked the question, last year it was under admin expense, and to date we have $92,000 recorded last year under admin consultants. So that kind of replaced that one.
I see, because I didn't remember it being so high from previous years. So I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, it's because we're not using consultant anymore. We're using the call center. So
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of, it's a fund drive expense. It should always have been on the fund drive expense instead of on the consultant.
Okay. Well, if you're asking me, off the top of my head, I think the premium number might be a little lower than what I feel 100% comfortable with. But
okay,
there it is.
I will get you. I will go over and find out the donation for WBAI antenna and all that stuff to find out to get you a number that will give you an idea of how well we have done since October.
Okay, that'd be great. I think that would, I mean, maybe you can make me comfortable with it. I am right now. Okay. Well, and I think everyone has said everything else, which is that the income numbers are really hard to project. They could be pretty good, and they could be, and they could really not come through. But I don't think there's anything significant that we can do with the expense side of the ledger at this point that would accommodate that a really catastrophic miss on these. And I appreciate that they're not puffed up and that
there's been some significant, you know, thought, it sounds like, put into what's being predicted, which is good. Okay, well, let me shut up. Right now, for me, the numbers that look fungible is the CPD and perhaps the premiums. What numbers are fungible for other people or they don't feel comfortable with, if any?
Fungible?
Hello? Did someone...
I was just... I just used the word fungible differently.
All right. all right. Tracy?
Yes, Bertolt, go ahead.
$303,000 raised so far for the transmitter fund.
Mm-hmm. All with no premium,
No premium, you just, you know, money in the bank.
Okay. Well, there's questions about the replicability of that going forward. That I think we have to consider. But that's good to hear. And it is support for the fact that, you know, you can bring in some income with no premiums at all.
And then also...
Okay.
I'm also
I think we should, I think we should probably go around the horn a bit and see where everybody's at in terms of looking at going forward with this budget or wanting more documentation or more time to think about it. I also want to take out the actuals and see if there's anything that kind of jumps out as not quite right. Why don't we start in California all the way around? Michael, what are your thoughts?
I start to know what to do about any of it. One thing I did notice is that the board expenses line seemed kind of low, although I compared it to the actuals and about actually a little higher, I think, than I budgeted last year. So I don't know, but the KVFA, I think, were higher. That's the budget.
Let's look. Okay, well, there's a breakdown on this. So the local board expenses are about $200 a month, they're about right. I mean, that's pretty much what everybody budgets. The LSB election at $16,500, that's actually, I think, pretty consistent with what BAI has budgeted before. They do have significantly less members than the California
state.
Yeah. Bertolt, what's the current membership roster, the number approximately?
It's close to probably between 14 and 15,000. Last time I looked, it might be around 14. And by the way, so the total amount of money we receive between transmitter fund, which is $303,135, and just donate to BAI, your favorite show, build a new BAI, that kind of stuff, $87,000. So we have collected $390,000 for fund drive for no premium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Michael, how much did KPFK budget for it again? I think about 25?
Yeah, that was 26 something.
Yeah.
26.9
something. Okay. Well, you are talking about 4,000 less members, which is less printing and less postage, so it is going to be less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could be right that something in the vicinity of 19 or 20 might be closer to what it should be.
You mean the election?
Yeah.
I thought
that's what Michael.
Wasn't that being postponed?
Well, yes, but it is going to happen in 2014.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, it's not... you know, it still factors into this budget.
Yeah, it did factor it, but I was hoping that...
Okay.
Okay, well, it's not a huge amount of money, but I see Michael's point that it might be a little better to go closer to 20. Of course, we are hoping to bring the cost down, but, you know, that remains to be seen. Anything else, Michael?
No, I mean, the big picture is what it is. I you know, if my concern was about the United Buddies, and that seems to be based on reality, then I think you have to, you know, hope that the other listener support, you know, comes in at the levels they're projecting. It is, I did look at the actuals, it's less than they're budgeting for less for the year in terms of expenses, and they're budgeting for less for the year in terms of listener income than they got through, whatever that was, 9 months of the current year, so I assume that is doable, therefore.
Okay. I have actually a modification of the crowdsource question that I asked that wasn't making sense to Bertolt. Does anybody mind if I throw that out again?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, apparently what the person meant was, would the GM run during fund drive shows that air on KPFA or KPFK or KPFT that are good money raisers in their localities on WBAI, and then the pitches would give the BAI phone number. In other words, instead of, I guess, shows that are underperforming, if you had network cooperation. That's what the question is.
Well, absolutely. Well, we're kind of going to do this time around. We have a bunch of shows from California that are going to pitch. Sojourner Truth, Letters in Politics, background briefings, and so on. And I don't know, I always keep in touch with the other stations, Christian Blasio, different people all over, especially with KPFK and KPFA, finding out what they have. And, you know, we either, you know, you know, get the premium, or we, you know, we get some help with you know, the show or the pitching. And I've also offered our shows that I thought were really good at BAI to the other stations, like On to New Orleans, that kind of stuff, premiums that I think that we have come up with that are really, really good. So, yeah, we do collaborate. I mean, it's not at the level I would like or anyone would like. I think we need to, you know, definitely bring that collaboration up a few notch, so that we as a network can be more efficient in raising money. But, yeah, I do definitely aspire to that.
Okay, good. All right, so let's go continue with sort of around the horn. So, California, John Crumshaw, where are you at on this?
Hi, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Okay. The only question that I would have would be as far as the budget projection having to do with the amount of money for the fund drives. The projection of using mostly Pacifica on a stick, as Bertolt referred to it, I wonder about whether that has been used elsewhere, that model, using that much of the fund drive to account for the funds raised. Has it been successful? That would be one part of the question. The other would be that he mentioned specifically shows such as Democracy Now! And Gary Null. If they're successful, they would have their own items. What effect would that have on the overall picture? And has that been calculated? Is there a dollar amount of that might change those proportions?
Well, you know, I'm a number guy. You know, hello?
Yeah,
hello? Yeah, I'm a number guy. I can tell
you. We can hear you. Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a number guy. I have every single week of drive here highlighted with the amount of money that I expect to be making. we used to expect to make $28,000-$30,000 a day. We are reducing it to $18,830. That's to me, that's pretty low and doable. And then, as you said, if this thing on the stick doesn't work, we will switch gear. I can guarantee you that we will switch gear. And we are also projecting, by the way, 102 days of fund drive, as opposed to normally we used to have 120, and last year we had 160. So if we have to add one or two more days, like for October, we're projecting 25 days of drive. We had 28 days last year. In May, we're projecting 25 days of drive. Last year, we had 39. So whatever we cannot make up in one way or another, we will adapt. And then we will add this, or we will, you know, for example, I'm projecting that, you know, we will have, like, some Gary Null premium. You know, the shows that usually do not make a lot of money will go that experiment. The shows that do make money, they will continue with the fundraising thing. So we'll mix it up, and we'll slowly, hopefully, turn this from a premium-driven thing to a content-driven thing, but it's not going to happen overnight. You know, we will have shows that make money continue to do what they do. Keep in mind that between Gary Null, Democracy Now, and the health shows, and then some of the so-called conspiracy theory premium that people say, we raise about 65 to 70% of the money we make. And that's not going to change this time around.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Yeah, trust me, I am very, very, very worried, you know, as everybody else is in the network, but I watch this every day. I look at it. I ponder about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's continue around the horn a bit to Texas. Jim Boyd, any temperature taking? Comments?
No, I guess I had thought that the CBB amounts were pretty firm. I'm just kind of surprised that they aren't. So, in general, I just, the general budget, I just say WBAI, good luck. You know, see what happens the next 6 months, and I think internally they're just going to have to, you know, make the changes they need for the second half of the year.
Well, actually, we really need to make this October drive. We really need to, you know, push and make this drive goal or do better, so that we can give the network a breather and ourselves a breather. So the October drive is extremely important to us. We have a few events projected. I guess I can say that publicly now. We have a Pete Seeger concert. It's already booked from somewhere in October. We will raise a few thousand dollars there, probably close to $10,000. I don't think that's even included in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
Richard Uzzell.
I kind of echo what Jim just said. Although I understand what Bertel is saying about October, because y'all need to start making some income so you can cover your own expenses and stuff. I'm afraid that the I heard something about. The other stations paying for this or that. The other stations are getting pretty drained, or you know, they're that's got to quit. So yeah. I wish you all the best in October. It's kind of a trick or treat thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll move on to DC and Tony Norman.
I think that the majority, the budget as they stated is rather conservative, and I think that the New York people have done a reasonably good job under the circumstances. I'm just a little concerned that it didn't go through the LSP, but I understand why, and I can relate to that. But I agree that it's a fairly conservative budget, and I think they've done a lot to trim it down. I'm concerned, and not just with New York, but also generally about the benefits of part-time and how much we're paying. And we need to take a serious look at that. I don't want to sound like a mean person, but that's an issue we need to look at across the board, paying the benefits for part-time. I mean, it's great, and I wish we could continue, but we're just not in a financial position. So we need to come back at some point and really look at that, the benefits we pay for part-time workers. But other than that, I commend the New York people and the work that they've done and support what they're doing.
Thank you, Tony. And, yeah, that's a valid point. And
Tracy,
I think...
Tracy, Mark.
Yeah? Is this who on the call?
Marcus.
Marcus. Hi, Marcus. Welcome.
I've been here the whole time. I've just been quiet.
Yeah, welcome. Okay, so let me finish what I was saying, which is, thanks, Tony, I agree. The issue of the benefit level for part-time employees, which is 100% including dependents in most stations, of 20 hours a week or more, is an issue that's financially challenging. It's a little beyond our ability in this committee to address, but I think we should, you know, pass on the concern and, you know, make sure that it stays on the agenda in terms of what we can and can't do. And I think that's all we can say about that. Marcus, you're brand new. What we're doing is kind of temperature taking on the BAI draft budget.
I've been on the call the whole time.
Okay, well then let's hear what you have to say.
Not much, actually. I think most of what's been said, I think it's all about fundraising and if they're able to make their fundraising numbers, and I wish them well. And otherwise, I'm fairly comfortable with the budget and, you know, everything's been said. So it's all about fundraising, and I really wish them the best. And we'll make my minimum pledge to BAI during the fund drive.
But can't hurt. Okay, so speaking as the chair, I heard kind of three places where concerns manifested, and I don't know how serious they are, but I'm just going to put them out. One is the size of the CPB estimation, which is 266 plus 93, which is about 360, which is substantial. And the actuals for 2013 appear to have been about 250 or 260. So we might need to get to the bottom of that a bit to see if we are being over-optimistic. That's one. The second point that was brought up was whether we thought we could get by booking about 1.5 can listener support with 75K in premium support. And then the third issue that came up was whether the LSV election was under budgeted, although the amount there was something like 3.5, 3,500 or 4,000, so it's not a large adjustment. Is there anything that I left out? Okay. So it's 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern. So the question is, do we want to carry on for about half an hour and look at those problem spots and try to finish this tonight? Or do we want to get a little more data, which we may actually need for the CPB question, and come back and revisit this budget with a focus on those specific areas and finish it up?
I don't know whether we can do it tomorrow because we will have to give WPFW its full hearing. But we could certainly take a stab at it at our next regular meeting, which is next Tuesday. Since we've got two budgets stacked up in front at the PNB, I think it's rational to assume that the PNB will not get to this budget before our next meeting. So what do people think?
Well, if we go solid until the 24th, that gives y'all almost a week to work on those, balancing those numbers.
Anybody want to speak to the alternate position or rebut that?
I mean, this is Jim. If I would just ask what WBAI wants. I mean, I'm comfortable with what they presented. If they feel they'd like to fill it out more, then I think it's their call.
Okay. Are Paul, any thoughts?
Oh, well, for me, the only thing is the CPB part, you know. So I think everything else to me seems to be pretty rational and reasonable. So if the CPB is reduced by 60,000, which means 44,000 net, then that means we're going to have to reduce the leasehold improvement by like 30,000 instead of 65,300. Mm-hmm. And so these are the two things to me that seems to be, you know, subject to change. Besides that, everything else seems to be okay. I will send you, Tracy, or if you want, file on the donation, the $300,000 donation without a request for premium stuff, if you want that. And then so that you can feel a little bit more comfortable about that. And then after that, you know, I'm comfortable with it.
Okay.
I just add that if we don't meet our goals, we'll extend the days. We have to, unfortunately. And that's it.
Sure. Our Paul, what are your thoughts process-wise?
Well, yeah, mostly these are things that Berthold is going to have to look at and adjust mostly, so I go with what he wants to do. It looks like he could probably get that done pretty easily and rapidly there.
I can do it, like, right now and email it to you. It's not that difficult, but...
Okay.
Question is whether or not you want that, you know. So for the CPB, for example, I think you're waiting on Raul to give you a number, or are we going to reduce that by 60,000?
Well, I think in lieu of a little more documentation, what I heard from the majority of the committee is that we would lean towards reducing it. That doesn't mean that, you know, more documentation might not change that assessment. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what I think in a minute. I'm interested in what other folks think. Manager?
I think, you know, I'm concerned about some of the payments that we are behind. And actually, you know, in terms of what the money has been borrowed for other stations and from other places to pay some, for example, our tower and other expenses like Silverstein and all that. But this budget doesn't consider all of those, but we are going to, and since I don't trust the fundraising projection, the way it has been, would be fulfilled, I'm really concerned about the budget.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. And also, for example, we are not considering also election money for the next year election in this. And that is a real concern. And so how are we going to manage and survive if we cannot count for all of those and try to raise the money for it? Or we don't have the plan to do it or a projection of how we can do better than this. Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that's valid. And speaking for myself, there is a scenario of if the income really tanks from these expectations, what happens? And it's not something that we thoroughly talked out at all. And I think that we have a scenario where the income, you know, the income targets may be met and they may not be met. We don't have a lot of discretionary expenses left.
Yeah.
So, you know, what happens? I'm leaning towards, I think we've made a real good start tonight, and in many ways this budget is in better shape than I may have thought coming into the meeting. But I think there's plenty of good reasons to get some accompanying documentation and think about it a bit and give it a little bit of time on the 24th. I mean, in my perfect world, we get all of this done by September 30th, but I don't think we're going to. And I think it might benefit from a little more examination. I don't think the modifications that the committee would make would be that severe. I think we've already talked through the CPB item, and the others are not significant amounts of money. But the issues of contingency plans might factor in here. So unless someone strongly objects, I think we might be looking at a continuation to the 24th.
I agree with that.
That's fine.
Sure.
Yeah? Any strong objections? Okay.
And send them to me so that I can prepare whatever and, you know, so that you can be, you know, you have the answers before the meeting. So like, once you get into the meeting, you can, you know.
Yeah. I will do that, Berthold. I think we would like to look at whatever premium documentation there is. I do think that we want to hone in a little on the CTB figures.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Although we have, you know, come up with a way to reconcile that if it turns out that we want to lower them, which is good. I think that would be helpful. Yeah.
And we also need to make sure that there's sufficient for the election, because we postponed it once, but we can't do that again.
No, for sure.
So you're talking about nobody wants extra $4,000, right?
That's about what we're talking about, yeah, because the station has less members than the California station, so it doesn't cost as much. And that's a fact. So I think we can find that.
Yeah, 4,000.
Yeah, it's not. Okay. So are there any other things that people want to point out that Berthold could provide some preparation on before the continuation in the next week? Because as much as we can give him that info now rather than 5 minutes before the meeting, he'll be grateful.
Manny, yes. I have a question.
What?
Did I hear... Did I hear you correctly that the full election is 4,000?
No. We were talking about the increase that we thought was appropriate over what's already in the budget.
Increase. I was shocked. Okay. I thought it was something that I missed.
Manager, I have about 18,000 for the election, but they are saying, the committee is saying that I should add that another 4,000 to bring it to about 2022.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That's fair.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. We just thought it was trimmed a little more than maybe we could get away with.
No, I thought something I had missed in the middle. So I said 4,000. What's 4,000? But okay, thank you.
Just as a conversational.
Tracy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one little bit of information here. Berthold is budgeting the full percentage of central services for both the national office and archives, 17 and 2.5% respectively. In 2013, we were accruing a lesser amount based on the previous CFO's directives, apparently. So this is a change, and I don't know the history of why it was reduced to 7.2 and 2.5%, but
yeah,
for this budget purposes, it was at a full percentage of 17 and 2.5%.
Yeah, that's correct. I can clarify. This committee had played a role in that one-year reduction, which I think was done in 2011, maybe 2012, I'm not sure. Basically, it had to do with reality-based budgeting, and we were trying to keep the national office budget
realistic,
in touch with, yeah, in touch with the actual central services that could be expected, because the AI was not paying them consistently. So we thought, well, if we use a budgetary system that assumes less money from the AI, we'll be less inclined to end up with numbers that don't hold up. But on a principal basis, all five stations should be submitting proportionally. That's the goal, and that's what we want to achieve. And if the AI is a smaller station that pays full central services on the revenue that it receives, that would be the better goal. So I'm in favor of that.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think we're pretty good. Thank you, Bertold, for coming and preparing all the documentation. Much appreciated. And hanging into the whole meeting.
Mm-hmm. By the way, one of the things we expect, like I know Manji expressed that concern about old bills going into the new year, so that, you know, we're going to be short of cash. We're hoping that the CPB money that comes in, when it comes in from the previous year, would go towards paying back the national office for some of the money that they put up for us.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can I ask, to the extent that we can do this in open session, I know that there was a tower deadline. Has that been dealt with?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
What was that?
I'm glad to hear that.
It was paid, yeah.
That was paid.
Oh.
The current tower payments. I was just clarifying if they had been, if the deadline was met and they were paid. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, unless anyone has anything further, I think that's good for tonight. Tomorrow we will shift gears to PFW.
And speaking of tomorrow, for everybody's information, I have posted WPFW's budget that was approved by the LSB into the National Finance Yahoo group. And I don't really know how to work that, but it's posted it somehow. But I'm also going to add more information tomorrow, like a forecast of the year 2013. And then since John Hughes is on leave, Michelle Price, the acting or the interim GM, would probably be joining us and in the call.
Well, thank you so much for that. We'll look forward to meeting her, and that sounds like a good idea.
I have a question about that.
Richard?
Yes.
Have we received a copy of the proposed budget?
Yes, it's like I said, it's posted in the National Finance Committee.
Okay.
I could email it to you guys. I'm still having a problem emailing to the group, Yahoo group. So what I did, I went to the Yahoo and posted it there. But I will send out more information by tomorrow morning.
Well, I'm sorry that you're having that problem, Raul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're added to the group a long time ago. That's weird. Well, maybe privately we can try to troubleshoot it and get it figured out.
Yeah, I need to talk to you about that. So,
This is Manager. I have a question. Is it possible to also, besides Yahoo group, send it to people as well?
Why I'm going to figure out with...
But I would like to get it in PDF rather than go to Yahoo.
Okay. It's an Excel spreadsheet, so
So I can pick up Excel. I had to get it through my email rather than.
Okay, I will do that. I will send it out.
I will if you send my things to directly. Thanks.
Okay, terrific. That would be really helpful because that's another budget that is accommodating a whole bunch of transitions, so it's not simple.
Thank you.
Okay.
And like I said, it's going to be a really rough budget because I was working with it with John Hughes and Michelle. I just sent it to Michelle yesterday, the budget. So she needs to review them, and I don't know her thoughts on that yet. So we're going to convene tomorrow prior to the meeting. So.
Yeah, well, obviously her thoughts will be really preliminary, and that's fair enough. But
Right, exactly.
You know. But whatever they are, they can't hurt.
Yeah. And I'm just giving you guys a heads up. It's going to be from a different manager now perspective.
Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone. Thanks a lot. And we will meet again tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
Good evening.